Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 103. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what we heard, Lord, and the new heart that is given to us as a gift. And we do your will from our hearts in Ephesians 6:6. And you ask for our heart. Son, give me your heart. Pray that you would really bless your word this evening now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just a thought, in Psalm 103, verse 7. This is Moses commenting about what happened in the wilderness. And he's summarizing about 40 years of walk of the nation of Israel in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. And David is saying in verse 7 that God made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. This verse says that Moses knew the ways of God, and the sons of Israel got to know the acts of God. Ways are different from acts. Acts are basically the deeds, what God did in the wilderness. The performances of God, opening of Red Sea and various other things, even including the 10 miracles, they are all the acts of God. And to know the acts of God, we can live by sight. So I can see the Red Sea opening and I can walk through. The nation of Israel got to know the acts of God. But the ways of God are different. And if we say the acts of God are that which is performed by God in our midst, the ways of God is the reason why God is doing such things in our midst. For example, mother is cooking the food. That is an act. Why mother is cooking the food? Out of love, maybe to feed the children, to feed the husband. So that is the reason why such things are done. Moses got to know the very heart of God. But the nation of Israel got to know the acts of God. The word ways here is talking about the precepts of God. And the method by which the administration of God is run. And Moses got to know it. And he knew why the nation of Israel was taken out of Egypt. And he knew the reason. And he knew the administration of God. And he was not just caught up with the acts. He went beyond it. The word ways here speaks about the principles of God's thoughts by which he governs man. The words ways here is talking about the basis of something by which God would even save a man. That is about ways. So when we read this verse, we can very well understand that the ways of God can be perceived by faith, but the acts of God can be perceived purely by sight. If you read this verse, and it says that God made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. And we can think that, oh, God was very partial and he revealed only his ways to the mode of administration, the reason, the thoughts of God, the mind of God. Everything was revealed only to Moses, but that which was performed in their midst, raining manna or whatever it is, that was revealed to the nation of Israel. No, God is not the one to show partiality. It says in Acts chapter 10 verse 34, and Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:6, Ephesians 6:9 and Colossians 3:25, God is not the one to show partiality. God was not partial to Moses and not shown the ways of his ways to the nation of Israel. It says in the book of James chapter 3 verse 17, the wisdom from above is without any partiality. Everyone can receive. And the doctrine behind it is God is the one who is the initiator. Man is just the responder. So it is not that Moses was initiating to the ways of God and God revealed only to Moses and God is partial. No, that is not. God initiates himself to everyone. And when Eve was given to Adam, it was not Adam who asked for Eve. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 20. And God knew what is his need and he provided. Even after the first sin, it is not Adam who went to God. It is God who went after Adam saying, where are you? So God is the one who is initiating to us. It says in Romans chapter 5 verse 10, I think Pastor Benny quoted, right? While we were sinners, yet Christ died on the cross for us. And it is the initiation of God. It says in Acts chapter 2 verse 23, before even in eternity past, in the council of the Trinity, the cross was mentioned. It says in Revelation 13:8, before the foundations of the world, cross was in the mind of God. So initiation with respect to the salvation is purely from God. So it is not only Moses initiated and he got benefited. That is wrong. Number two, it is not that God is partial only to Moses and he revealed to Moses, but he did not reveal to the nation of Israel. That is also wrong. God was initiating to everyone and Moses was responding to the initiations of God and he got to know the very heart of God. And I was thinking what it means to know the ways of God. And let us turn to Exodus chapter 33. And I would like to quote that incident that happened in the wilderness. And I want to connect it with what David says in Psalm 103 verse 7. Exodus chapter 33. The psalmist was very, very sensitive. As we said, ways of God are precepts of God. The method, the word ways there is basically a road path by which you will walk with God. That is the word ways. The word ways is nothing but the reason why God is doing such things. And it is the very mind of God. And the word ways is nothing but the course of life that is offered by God to a man or a woman. This is what God wants me to do. That is nothing but the ways. That is why the psalmist was very, very sensitive. He said in Psalm 86 verse 11, teach me your way. And teach, unite my heart, as we heard, unite my heart so that I might fear your name. And he says, in Psalm 25 verse 4, make your ways known to me. It is kind of like many times we ask, what is the will of God, right? God reveals himself to us and we come to know about the will of God for our lives. And he says in Psalm 27 verse 11, teach me your way. And in Psalm 51, he says, restore me to the joy of the salvation, the joy of the salvation. I will teach the transgressors your ways. So it is the course of life that God gives with His mind, with a perfect plan to the man of God or to the woman of God. Moses really knew the ways of God. He knew why he was in the wilderness. He knew why it was happening. Everything. That is why he was called the meekest man on the earth in Numbers chapter 12. If you notice this incident, you will clearly know Moses really understood the heart of God. In Numbers, in Exodus chapter 33, in verse 13. He says, "Now I therefore pray to you, if I have found grace in your sight." Okay, who can know the ways of God? That is the first question, right? We are settled with God is not partial, number one. Number two is, you don't have to take much striving on your part to know the ways of God. God is initiating and we have to respond to the initiations of God. Who can know the ways of God? Anyone that has found the favor of God. Have we not found the favor of God? It says in Ephesians 2, by grace through faith, we are saved. So we are all the objects of God's grace. So we have definitely found the grace of God. If I have, you see, you know, it is grace is like kind of going in and out. If I have found grace in your sight, let me know your ways. Correct? Knowing the ways is basically knowing God. If I have found grace in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you. Which means the ways of God can never be separated from God Himself. The ways of God can never be separated from the grace of God. That you will see here. If I have found grace in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you so that I may find grace in your sight. It is a loop. And nobody, no man can know God apart from the grace of God, because grace of God is all that God is. 1 Peter 5:10. And we all have found the grace of God. And we can say, since we have found the grace of yours, like Noah found the grace of God. What is the way of God that Noah got to know? He got to know the way of salvation. I was looking at the scriptures. Who all found the grace of God? It says in Genesis chapter 19, verse 19, Lot said to God, "God, I have found the grace of yours." Did he know God? Yes, he knew the God of deliverance. It is God who delivered him from the judgment. It says in Judges chapter 6, verse 17, Gideon got to know the grace of God. And what kind of a God he got to know? He knew the God of victory. So when we find the grace of God, and that is the bottom line for us, okay? That is the minimum qualification which comes from God. That is the only qualification, not minimum. So when we find the grace of God, we are potentially capable of responding to the initiations of God. We get to know the ways of God, and we get to know God, and we receive more grace. So that is what Moses is saying. Ruth got to know the grace of God. Ruth chapter 2 verse 10. How did she know God? She knew God as her covering. So when we get to know grace of God, definitely we know the ways of God, we know God, and we receive more grace. And grace is all that God is. We can never know God outside of the grace of God. Grace is who is Christ Himself. John chapter 1 verse 16. And grace is the truth by which God reveals His nature and character. Again, John chapter 1 verse 16. Grace is the channel by which God's attribute of love is communicated to us. So we don't have to pray to God. If I have found grace, by grace through faith you are saved. God, teach me your ways. What is the ways? The reason why you do such thing. What is the course of life that you have? Everything is seasoned with grace. What is the course of life that you have for me in your grace, in your plan? And we, in the course of life, as we walk with God, by the grace of God, we get to know God and we get more grace of God. That's what Moses says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. You know what happened here? In Exodus chapter 32, the verse says that 9 to 11, let's go back there and we will read. Exodus 32, verse 9 to 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is happening after the golden calf incident. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, they are stiff-necked people. And then he's saying, let me alone, Moses. In my anger, I may burn them. My anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. And then he is giving another plan. I will make you a great nation, and then we can go forward, right? And if I were in the place, oh God, like, wow, you consider me and you are going to make me a great nation. That is the perfect plan. Let's go for it. Let's destroy all the people. But Moses knew the way of God. Moses knew God. Moses found grace in the sight of God. Look at what Moses says in verse 11. If it is a hireling, he would have done that. Right? The season of the hireling is but a short time. Isaiah 21 speaks about it. When the wolf comes, the hireling will run away. John chapter 10. But Moses was not such. And he entreated the Lord in verse 11 and said, O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt? With great power and with a mighty hand, why should Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent, he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. And this is what I love it. In verse 13, remember Abraham, remember Isaac, remember Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken, I will give it to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Did not Moses know the way of God? He knew the heart of God, and he talked back to God. Remember Abraham. You are God of your own covenant. And it is by your name you swore. And unless the Israelites, let not the Egyptians speak about you in this way, that you brought them and you destroyed them in the wilderness. Moses really knew the heart of God. And he interceded to God in this way. You know what? In Exodus chapter 32, in verse 25, after they made the golden calf, they were singing, drinking, dancing, and some of them were naked. Do you think that they knew God, God's ways? If they had known God's ways, they would have known God. If they had known God, they would have known the grace of God. And they would not have made a golden calf, right? And so they said, like, this Moses, and he went, and they were singing, dancing, and they were naked in that verse. But when it comes here, and God says, I will have a plan B, and I will make you a great nation, I will take you, Moses did not say, yes, that is what you need to do. No, Moses knew. The same Moses 40 years back, and he did not know the way of God. You know what he did in Egypt? And he thought he could bring in deliverance, and he went and fought with an Egyptian and he killed him. And it took 40 years for God to teach him. And he was mellowed down, and it says in Numbers 12 verse 3, he was the meekest man. In the sense, he knew the plan of God. There was no reaction on the part of Moses with respect to the plan of God. Even if things go wrong, and he knew why God was doing it. And he knew the nature and character of God. And he knew, can you imagine, he is a person under the law. How can he say to God, if I have found grace in the sight of God, show me your ways. And I will know you, and I will find more grace in your sight. Is he a man under the law, or is he a man under grace? I think it is the grace of God that really draws us closer to God. And the more we receive, and we say that, God, show your ways to us, so that not the will of God, we will get to know you. And the heart of God gets transferred to us, as we heard. And God imparts his heart, and with his burden, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come, be yoked up with me, in 1 Corinthians 1:9. And we walk with God and we really enjoy our life. And we know why God is doing such a thing, at a particular point in time, and there is no reaction on our part towards the plan of God, because God teaches us to be meek. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the life of Moses, and he was but a man like us, and in the wilderness, and he prayed, and if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. And multiple times, and many times, the psalmist is praying, show me your ways, teach me your way, and so that I may walk with you. And your ways are nothing but your nature and your character, and we get to know you, and it is all happening at the foundation of the grace of God. And we are all the objects of your grace, and we are potentially capable of knowing your grace, and the wisdom from above is without partiality. And bless this evening, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know what distinguishes, one was on the heart, the other was on the ways of God, right? What distinguishes men of faith or people of faith from people of unbelief? Moses had his issues, right? Now we see some great men of faith asking God for signs. Gideon asked God for a sign, right? When King Hezekiah was healed, he asked God for a sign that God had prolonged had added 15 more years to his life. And these men are commended in the Word of God as great men of faith. Now, when God initiates to man, he's very tender, he's very compassionate, he's very patient, and he's very long-suffering with us, putting up with us, so to speak, so as for us to get the point. That means, when God initiates to us, he is not insensitive to the condition in which the man is in. Okay? Number one, his weakness, right? Frailties, bouts of unbelief constantly. Sometimes we have two cells in our brain, just two cells working, and out of which one goes off and on all the time. We are like that, and God is still initiating. But the point is this, but what he initiates is not subject to change. What he initiates to man is his very ways. Right? What he initiates is who he is. It is his knowledge. And so it is possible that we as God's people may take 500 years to understand the first precept in the Bible. But as long as it is an attempt and it is a life before God as to understand it, God is very patient with us. As long as it is a life before God, for God to speak in a way where man, though he has his struggles and his weaknesses and his failures and all these things, but as long as it is trying to understand what God is actually initiating or what God is making known to the person, though that person may be found in a very pathetic state as far as his frailty goes, it is okay with God. God understands that because he takes into account the condition. Moses was not the most qualified, he had all the learning of Egypt, but as far as his heart went, old heart went, he was a terror, right? He was a murderer. But Moses was never trying to change the ways of God. Now, what happens or what upsets God, what happens in this present day Christendom is, man is trying to prove to God that he is not these. He's not frail, he's not weak, he's skilled, he's capable. But what he wants an accommodation is with God trying to accommodate himself in terms of his ways. In other words, God, you don't have to look at me and be too sensitive to my condition as to put up with me and be long-suffering with me for me to get the point finally. But if you can make a change in terms of who you are, I'll be happy with it. God says that cannot happen. How many understood what I just said? So here it is. God initiates to us and He perfectly knows where we are at. He perfectly understands where we are at. For which He is patient, He is long-suffering, and He has all the long-suffering in the world in that sense to really bear with us so that we would begin to perceive and comprehend, even if it is, you know that thing, right? Turtle and rabbit, they are in a race. We are all like turtles, by the way. We just don't get it. If at all we get it, it's, but God is there. Because what we are beginning to perceive is who He is, His ways. That is perfectly acceptable with God, because even though the man has, or the woman has, they have their struggles, it is ultimately the objective of getting to know His ways. There, God can be patient, He can wait, He can accommodate, so to speak. But what He initiates to man is not subject to accommodation. That has a standard of the truth of God, which is in the Bible. When man tries to reverse this order and say, God, I'm capable, but that which you are trying to communicate to me, you make an accommodation in terms of your ways, there is a friction right there. And it is on account of this that in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus could say, who is he that seeks for a sign? Yeah, there were some frail people who, Gideon in all his, he asked for two signs actually, twice. God. But what was he in the process of getting to know? Not the acts of God in terms of the sign, but the ways of God, right? It was the ways of God. But in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus did say, it is a wicked and an evil generation that looks for a sign, because the crowd of that day wanted Jesus to change his convictions and wanted Jesus to preach another message. They showed themselves to be, so on the one hand, when Jesus would put up with the weak and the frail and do healing and be compassionate and heal the this person and that person and, like, you know, the common man, and they heard him gladly. So that, and he persevered with them, he persevered with these disciples. And every attempt Peter or James or John made to persuade Jesus to change his ways, Jesus had a word for them, which was tough. But on the other hand, when they had this other kind of frailties and weakness, it was absolutely fine with the Lord of the universe, because why? They were in the process, nevertheless, to get to know his ways. But when the crowd of that day wanted to show themselves strong, argumentative in terms of their knowledge, that's why they confronted Jesus and tried to push Jesus or persuade Jesus or pressure him into changing what the Father had spoken to him in terms of what he would tell the nation of Israel, then Jesus had a word for them, which was nothing but a form of rebuke, because that was a kind of unbelief that was denying the very truth. You know, Christianity is actually governed by this. We in our church here, in our ministries like this, around the city and all over the world, and we don't say we are the only church, but we have gifts, we have talent, skills, everything. But then, not to take away from the fact that we also have an old heart. We have our ignorances, weaknesses, frailties, and it could be possible that after your graduation, you begin to understand the first thing about salvation. We don't know. Because that's how sometimes we are, right? What goes on in could be like Kali. But that's okay. God is patient there. God is long-suffering there. Provided it is all an effort in that sense, in terms of a response to God, in terms of getting to know Him or His ways, which are not subject to compromise or accommodation. But putting it in the reverse order, trying to be equipped, well equipped in oneself, but so as to counsel God to change His ways, would be the place where God would have to have a word. And Christendom, the departure in Christendom today is basically because of that. If they can rewrite the Bible, right? If they can rewrite the ways of God, if they can rewrite the mood of God, if they can redefine truth, oh, then they are perfectly fine with that. But that cannot be altered. It's a standard. It is from God. It is His ways, not subject to change. And we, on the other hand, the condition that prevails with us is fine with God, as long as We are in the process of getting to know that standard because God is beautifully initiating to us being sensitive to the very condition that we are in, to lift us up from whatever place of ignorance or frailty or forgetfulness or whatever, to get to know Him. This distinguishes in Christianity what we call faith and what we call unbelief. And you know, in one sense you look at it and say, God, me? He chose me? Like Noah picked up from Moses? Like, and you can say, God, me? And you go to bed in the night, God, me? You know what I'm like, God. I'm a capable guy. No, we can never say, God, you know. I think, God, you made a mistake in choosing me. Like, no. God says, I understand, I'm right there. So that you would have a perception of my ways which are not subject to change. This is a life of faith. On the other hand, how I am equipped in myself, a well-renowned man of the world, with the wisdom of the world, trying to counsel God to change his attitude and his ways, is something that will be resisted by God. And that is why Christendom is under judgment today. Because it lacks the power of God, it lacks faith, it lacks humility, and it has nothing to do. It really has nothing to do with the mystery of godliness. Amen? But thank God we are called this side. We are called to be part of this. That's true Christianity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what we heard today. We thank you for your ways. But we thank you for your initiations, that you would take time and that you would wait on us. The ways of the Father could not change, but he would wait for his prodigal son. You would wait, and this is, we understand the amazing way by which you would initiate this grace to us, for us to get to know your way, so much so that we can even have prayers which are according to your will, which in itself is an amazing miracle. That a man who is lost, condemned, would be redeemed, and now can be like a Moses interceding based on the ways of God. We thank you for this miracle. You work in our lives and make us the way you make us, people of faith. And how we find grace in that respect in your sight. We worship you. We thank you. Bless the remainder of our week. God, just really bless us. God, we pray and we thank you for everything that you've taken away from our lives, but we also thank you for everything that you have added to our lives. For there is an eternal purpose in an open door, but also in a shut door. Because that's your ways. Because it's based on the Bible. Bible is the truth from God to us. We thank you. We praise you. Heal those who are physically sick. God, deliver people. Give jobs to people, Lord, who need. And we thank you for being patient with us. You're a God of, your long suffering is amazing. And you can patiently wait till we even begin to get it. But never to change your ways in it. Heal people, God, who need a healing. We pray for Esther in a special way for her delivery. And we pray for the newborn kids in our ministry. Just be with them. Cover them, hedge them, especially in this weather. God, we pray for financial reversals for people who need a breakthrough in their finances. We pray for jobs for people who don't have. We pray for our church building. Lord, provide. Father, we pray. Provide. Thank you. You're a God who sees the end from the beginning. We can rest in you. Thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.